2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 12. We'll just read two verses to start, but we're going to spend some time in this passage this morning. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For as the body is one, is not one member, but many. We'll pause there, but we will go back to this passage of Scripture here. But let's go ahead and pray this morning, and then we'll get into the message. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the good service we've had already. Thank you for the visitors we've had with us, the regulars, the folks we haven't seen in a while. And we thank you so much for just allowing us to come to church. It's already been so refreshing and good to be in your house today, God. But I do pray this morning that you would help us to see a truth from your word that would help us to impact our church through our church. And so, God, I do pray that you would just bless the message this morning and inspire us to make an impact for you. I pray that you bless this time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can be seated. So last week we saw how having a hidden sin can impact our church negatively. So if we have something in our life that's sinful, that we're allowing in our life, that we're hiding from God and from everybody else, like Achan hid his sin in his tent after he stole some things from Jericho and brought upon himself and his family a curse, there are also, on the other side of that, positive ways we can impact our church. And so we don't want to impact our church negatively by having hidden sin. We want to confess that and forsake and get it right with God. But in addition to that, there are some things that we want to do that will help our church be all that God intends our church to be. And you may have heard the phrase, Christianity is not a religion, but a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's a true statement. We believe that statement. And it's true in its core and what it says. But it's obviously true on how you define religion makes that statement true and gives that statement context. But in a general sense, yes, Christianity is not a list of rules and rules and regulations to get us to God. But being with God, having a relationship with God, does have things that are consistent with that relationship, rules and regulations. Jesus did say, if you love me, keep my commandments. And some might define those keeping of those commandments as a religion, but it's not primarily religion. It's born from a relationship with Jesus Christ. So we want to be careful how we define that. That some people would use that then to say, well, then there is no rules. It's just, hey, as long as I say I love Jesus and get the T-shirt and put the bumper sticker on, I can do whatever I want to do. And that's not true. The same thing, I use this often. I use my own marriage to illustrate this sometimes, but the truth is I can wear a wedding ring that says, yeah, you're married, got the ring, but if I don't behave within the vows that I made on that wedding day, well, that relationship will definitely suffer. In fact, it could actually end. Now, the relationship with Christ will end, but your marriage, if you say, I'm just going to go have a relationship with all different kinds of people, I'm going to do all different kinds of things, I'm going to neglect that, you're not going to be very successful in marriage. And the same thing is true with our relationship with Christ. If you're going to say, hey, I'm going to have the T-shirt, I'm going to have say that I have this relationship, but I'm not going to be putting Christ first in my life, I'm not going to be keeping his commandments, I'm not going to be proving the sincerity of my love to him, that relationship is going to suffer. And so, yes, it's primarily and first of all a relationship with Jesus Christ, not a list of rules and regulations. That relationship, though, does bring with it certain characteristics and requirements to keep it healthy. It is true that the commands of God, keeping those commands, don't change our standing with God. In other words, you can be morally upright, if you will. You can keep God's commandments. You can come to church and you can be good to people and you can be kind and you can be loving and you can love God and you can love your neighbor and you can love your enemy and still not have a personal relationship with Christ. And in doing that, you're not saved. You don't have Christianity. But it is true also that relationship does bring about those other changes in your life. The relationship first, the requirements second. We don't have the requirements to bring about the relationship. But Christianity, I want to bring this point because it's so important. Christianity is not simply a personal relationship with Christ. Now, that's how it starts, with Christ. But, and yes, salvation is a relationship with Jesus Christ, but after salvation, our relationship with Christ involves far much more than just a relationship with Christ. Because he intends for you to be a part of a body. And being a part of the body of Christ means that you're responsible to other people. Because here's the mindset a lot of people have. Well, it's just between me and God. And initially it is. Well, as long as I talk to God, I don't have to go to church. As long as I don't have to be responsible, I don't have to bear anybody's burdens. It's just between me and God. And initially it is. But he intends for that relationship to bring into it other people. And that in truth, if we do it to the least of these, my brethren, we've actually done it to God, done it to our Savior. And he actually treats our relationship with him many times based upon how we treat each other. And that's an important truth to recognize. Because we live in a day when we want everything autonomous, right? I'm responsible for my well-being. It's just between me and him. It's me and God, nobody else. But we have to understand that that relationship is kept healthy by how we respond to other people, specifically within the church family. And so our life with Christ is communal. In other words, how we live the Christian life is with other people. We're responsible to other people. Remember, we've been talking in Sunday school about the great co-mission. If it was just you and God, it'd be the great mission because it's between you and him. But it's a co-mission. It's together. There's a corporation. There's a group of people that are involved with it together. It's a body. You know, it's like my foot saying, hey, I don't need the rest of you. I'm fine by myself. The reality is, no, you wouldn't be. And that's the truth that we've been presented in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is that you are not by yourself. You are not responsible just for you. And it's not just you and God. It initially begins that way, yes. But it involves other people. It is a body. We are baptized into a body. Our life with Christ is communal. It's not private or individual. When the scriptures speak of believers, they're part of a community, a fellowship, a group, a family, if you will. And this morning I hope to preach a message about how you can have an impact on your church through engaging in the life of the body. In other words, fulfilling the design that God has for us. It's not easy. It doesn't come naturally. We would rather say, hey, it's just me. And there are people today that say, hey, you know what? I caught the service online. I'm good. Well, who did you fellowship with? Who did you help? Whose burdens did you bear? There's so many one another statements in the Bible. Bear ye one another's burdens. It's all about one another. And you can't do that on a television screen. You can't do that with an internet connection. Now, again, if you're sick, that's great. I think it's a wonderful thing. If you can't get out to church and you're not feeling well or whatever the case may be, and that's how you have to be fed, that's wonderful. But that's not the design. That's not the priority. That's not the way God intended it. He wants us together as a church family. He wants us growing together as a church family, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's his design. So in an age when we become more isolated than ever, when our worlds will shrink down to the size of a phone screen, talk of community sounds radical. It sounds crazy. And honestly, it's contrary to what many modern believers think and even desire. Sometimes if we would say, hey, I want you to engage with other people, we would say, you know what? I'll catch you online. I don't like that. Because sometimes it's messy. Sometimes you have to put up with some stuff. Sometimes you have to be offended at different people's actions. And there's things that go on and you have to deal with people. And I'd rather just be me and my family. I think that's true of a lot of us. What I'm responsible for. Because so-and-so, they're rude. Or this person, they're that. Whatever the case, maybe we can come up with all these different things on why we don't want to be communal. Why we don't want to have a fellowship or a community or a family in church. The norm of the Christian faith is not isolated believers. It's not little islands of spirituality, but it's a body of Christians who band together by the Spirit of God. That's what Christianity is. It's a body of people. It's not just you and God and everybody else. So that's what the first principle we want to see in their text this morning is the body is one. In verse 12, we read this, for as the body is one and hath many members, so and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. So the illustration that we're given is our own physical body compared to the body of Christ. And it does allow us to understand that the body hath many members. There's a lot of different parts to our body, but it's still one body. And there's different roles that each one of us, there's eyes, there's ears, there's nose, there's hands, obviously. There's many, many different parts to the body. And you can't say, the hand can't say, hey, I have no need of the rest of you. And that's what a lot of modern Christians are saying. I don't have a need for the church. Hey, I love Jesus, just not the church. That doesn't make any sense. And we think that we can be right with God without his people. I can be doing what I'm supposed to be doing without being a part of the body, and that is not scripturally correct. You can't just say, hey, I'm an island to myself. And that's what I've heard people say that very thing. I'm responsible for me, and God and I are good, but I don't have anything to do with the church. By the way, the church is the bride of Christ. Now, if you came to me and said, Pastor, I love you. You're the best. You're great. But your wife? I don't like her. You and I aren't going to be great friends. I'll tell you that right now. We're not going to hang out. I don't like you because you don't like my wife. It's true. And you want to do that. If you want to be my enemy, so to speak, I'll still love you. I'll still try to help you. But if you want to get on my bad side, do that. Pastor, you're great. Oh, you're so wonderful. But your wife, we got to do something about that. Why do we think we can do that to the bride of Christ? Why do we think, hey, yeah, God, I love you. You're the best. Woo! Your people, they stink. That's his bride. Be careful about that. And the church is messed up. There are messed up people in church. That's why we have church. Because we're all messed up. And we get to thinking, it's not about just you and God. It involves his people too. And we are one. We are one body. Impact your church through unity, through oneness. I think about this too, and I've seen this happen. I got an email actually now. They're not calling me anymore. They're emailing me. Got an email, I think, 2 weeks ago, right after Easter. Pastor, we're looking for they use the ethnic group church, right? They use a certain ethnic group. Do you know of any certain ethnic group church? I love that. Because I tell them, yeah, I do. Quiet Baptist Church. Now, we're not just that ethnic group. We're all ethnic groups. But there's, man, the idea that we get this idea that says, hey, you know, we're a white church. Don't try that today. It's not a good idea. Probably not going to be very popular. But people do, hey, we're a black church. Those are, they exist today, right? And there are people that say, hey, we're a only Hawaiian church, or a only Spanish church, or only Korean church, or only Samoan church. Is that a body? where everybody's the exact same? A body is supposed to be multidimensional, multicultural. And that's what I love about our church, because we got everybody here representing. And that's a blessing. We are all one body put together by God. And the truth is, I love a multicultural church. It's great, and I love to see the different cultures. And I do encourage you, if you have as long as your culture wears clothes, and there's certain clothes that are different for worship, wear them to church. I think it's great. Every once in a while, Reno will wear his, we're thinking about it, going to a pastor's conference here in June with all the trustees. It's a spiritual workers conference, and we're all, he's going to wear his lava there and make some of them die of a heart attack. And I have one too, so I might join him and jump in there and say, hey, let's do it. And I love the different cultures that are represented in the body of Christ. I think it's great. And I think it's good to wear the different cultures and different dress to church. I think it's wonderful. We all don't have to dress exactly the same. But represent your culture. I think it's wonderful. As long as it's clothes, right? Okay. That's good. That's one qualification. Just got to cover you up. That's it. All right? Other than that, hey, praise the Lord. That's great. But we have these different groups that seek to emphasize one color over another. And they seek to emphasize one culture over another. And the reality is, what a church should be emphasizing is the head of that church. And the reality is, the head of the church is not white people. And the head of the church is not different cultures. The head of the church is Christ. Christ is who we emphasize. Christ is who we lift up. It's all about Jesus Christ. He is the unifying factor of our church family than any other group, and he should be. And if we would say that, hey, our unifying factor is this particular, if we would say, hey, we're all Republicans, we're all Democrats, or whatever the case may be, that's not supposed to be our unifying factor. It's Christ, or even a certain amount of wealth or poverty, as the case may be. It's Christ. Christ has got to be the head of the church. And to do that, to be united, Christ has to be preeminent. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, and he is the head of the body, the church. So as we're talking about the body of Christ, the head of that is Jesus. He's and it's your brain that tells the rest of the body what to do. You know? My brain just did that. You know? The brain, the head, is the one that's controlling the rest of the body. And that's got to be the case in the church. Christ is to be the one that tells us what to do from his word. The functions of a church has to come from the Bible, has to come from Christ. So Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Preeminence is first place. Whatever takes first place in my life is the head of my life. It's the preeminent thing. And if Jesus is not first place in my life, then I will not be at one with my church family. In order for us to be united like Christ intends, we all have to make Christ first place. Because otherwise, we're going to get crazy stuff out here that becomes first place. And you're going to get little factions that think, hey, we think this should be number one. We're number one. This is number one. Instead, we all should be saying, Christ is number one. Jesus is number one. That's what unifies. That's what makes us one. And if we want to impact our church, it begins by saying, hey, Jesus is preeminent. He's first place in my life. He's what I'm all about. And we mean it. If my wealth is preeminent, first place, then I will be one with the ones that can help me be wealthy. It's true. And I will look at you and say, hey, you can be, maybe they can help me be wealthy. And sadly, some churches have got that idea. And we start to target certain people groups that can help us grow our financial end. That shouldn't be the case. Christ is preeminent. He cares about preaching the gospel to every creature, every person, regardless of how they can help us or can't help us financially. If health is first place in my life, then I will be one with the ones who can help me be healthy. That's the idea. They're my friends. They're the ones that are going to promote me to being healthy, and so I want to be around them. Okay, there's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having a healthy body. But is it first place? And what we've seen is people who get these things in sports, you can put whatever you want in there, youth sports or whatever. When those things become first place, it drives a wedge between that person and the body. And eventually, as that grows, they begin to be separated from the body. And next thing you know, they don't have anything to do with the body. And those are the people who say, yeah, I'm right with God, but no, I don't like the church. Why? Because something else became preeminent. Something else became more important. And that's what always happens. You'll tell people, talk to people about that. Be honest and say, hey, I don't like God's people. Why? What's preeminent to you? It's not Christ. Because if Christ is preeminent, we're willing to forgive an offense. We're willing to overcome a mistake. We're willing to love people and help people, even if it means my own hurt, because he's preeminent. What often takes place is when people say, I don't want to have anything to do with the church. They've been wounded. They're hurt. But Christ is not first place. Many times we are. And because I am hurt, I want to have nothing to do with that. I got to tell you, I used the illustration earlier about people who said, I love you, Pastor, but I don't like your wife. That's actually happened before. That's a real thing. So I had a person tell me, met me in the back of the church. You need to quit the church right now. You're no longer, stop being the pastor. Told him. Okay. Yeah. Here. Have the keys. You know? Jump off a cliff too while you're at it, I guess. You know, it's like, and you can get wounded in this community. You can. Somebody can say something. Somebody can do something. Somebody can be in the flesh, and they can hurt. And words cut. They do. But if Christ is first, we learn to forgive. We learn to overcome. We learn to move on for him. Because he is first. It's about him, not me. That has to be our mindset. So if Christ is to be preeminent, if we're going to be united, if my heritage or skin color is first place, then I will be one with those that are most like me. You can see the problem with all of this? Christ needs to be first place. Has to be. Secondly, the body is stronger together. And the more complete our body is, the stronger we are. It doesn't mean that you have to be the strongest piece of the body, but with all the right pieces together, we're stronger. And again, just like our physical body, if you're missing an arm, doesn't mean you're useless, but you're not as strong as you would be with two arms. Again, nothing against people with only one arm, just the truth. Same thing with your legs, right? If you don't have both legs, you're not as strong. Doesn't mean you're useless. Doesn't mean you can't do anything. Just means you're not as strong as you could be. Doesn't mean I've seen some incredibly strong people who only have one leg or have no legs. They're very strong, but they could be, if they were more complete, stronger. And the idea is, spiritually, as a church, we can get some things done as individuals. We can do some things for the cause of Christ as individuals. But when you start putting the pieces that God has designed together within that church, when you start getting somebody can do this, somebody can do that, you start putting all the pieces together, and everybody putting Christ first in their life, you begin to see a strong body that supports, that helps, that bears one another's burdens. And again, not everybody has the same job. And sometimes we like to glorify certain jobs within the church. Like again, the best people in the church are the ushers of the church. And I personally feel that way. They do a great job, and we're working with our ushers. But the reality is everybody has a role to play. Like people who do what the ushers say, right? You know? We do what the ushers say, and we do what Pastor wants, and we work together, and we do different things. There's all different roles that we play. It's interesting, this morning, I actually went to Nohanna and said, Nohanna, the flowers are beautiful, and they are. They're gorgeous. And she was very quick to tell me, it wasn't just me. Auntie Lori gave the flowers. Oh, so now we're working together. Great. We all have a role to play. We all do our part. The body is stronger together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. It's incredibly prideful and arrogant to think that you don't need the rest of the body that God has placed you in. I don't need them. That's prideful. It's arrogant. It's foolish and it's wrong. To think that you don't need to be a part of the body. To think that you don't need to meet together with the body. To think that you don't want to be there to bear one another's burdens, to edify one another, to care for them. I don't need them. You can be further from the truth. We are much stronger together. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. It's better together. The more the merrier. And that's the idea. And you have to make being a part of the body and fulfilling your function in that body a priority. Do your job. Find your role. Be there. Have a part. It's important. Again, I mentioned earlier during the offering time, the first quarter of 2017 was one of our most incredible quarters in our history. It was, by many different metrics. But I want us to ask ourselves honestly, would it still have been an incredible year if I wasn't here? Now, God could still work, absolutely, but would it have been as great? If I wasn't here, if I was gone, what would have happened? It wouldn't have happened like it did. Would have still done great things, but not quite as much as he did. On the other side of that, would it still have been the same if I was here by myself? I remind myself often of that. You know, I'll be honest with you. Our Easter crowd would have been pretty poor if it was just me. I would have had to do the specials. I would have had to take the offering, and I would have had to give to the offering. I'd have to lead myself to Christ. Would have been a mess. Would have make myself my own breakfast. Would have been a mess. Obviously, it doesn't work that way. And I remind myself that all the time. If it was just me, I'd be awfully lonely. I'm so thankful for the body. And we would have never done what we did without each other. You know, the $108,000 that we raised for the new building. Trust me, if it was just me, it would have been far less of a number. Trust me, far less. Like, basically, hey, pastor, after you gave your offering, we still owe money for the food. Oh, great. We would have been in the hole. But we needed to do it together. And we did it together. And God blessed that togetherness. So the answer to the question is, would have the church done as much as it would have done without you? And would it still be the same if you were the only one? Is the same. It's yes. Yes, you were needed. Yes, you couldn't have done it by yourself. It's important that we all have a role to play. And yes, certain people gave more, but we all gave some. We all did our part. And that was the key. We got together on it. Church could go on without you. It will. It could go on without me because Christ intends for it to go on. He intends for us to finish the job. He intends for us to do the work. And whether I'm here or not, it's still going to go forward. And whether you're here or not, it's still going to go forward. But here's the key. I need it. I need church. I need to be here. I need to see God working. I need to see God move in a miraculous way. And I have seen it. And it encourages my faith. It keeps me going to see your faith, to be edified, to be strengthened, and we need each other together. Church can go on without you, but you cannot go on without church. I feel that way. Truth is, I could say this morning, I could give you my resignation. I'm done. I'm out. Taking that man's advice. Out of here, right? You still have church next week. Still would go on. I think it'd still be great. I still think it'd be powerful. I still think God would move in an amazing and mighty way. Because it's not about me. But I would be sitting home, I'd be still missing my church. Sure missing the Spirit of God working, still missing the people of God, the smiling faces, the encouragement. I need it. And that has to be our mindset. We are stronger together. And then thirdly, the body can be weakened. Look at verse 15 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. The worst thing you can do for your church is to say, hey, I don't have a part. Hey, I'm not an usher. I don't have a part. I'm not a nursery worker. I don't clean the church. I don't have a part. Everybody has a part. And the worst thing you can do is say, I have no part in that. I'm not needed. They can go on without me. And it's true, God would work. But still, it's harder to go out without certain parts. And sometimes, to be truthful, I got this blister on the back of my heel. I've got a blister on the back of your heel before. And it doesn't, I have to wear, when I wear shoes, it hurts. That certain part, right, little part back there, needs to be healthy. Otherwise, it really hurts. When I walk, when I run, it hurts. Just a small little, and I would think my heel, the upper heel, who needs it, right? No, you need it. You need to be healthy. You need to be strong. And that's true of everything. I mean, I don't know. It's interesting. I mentioned last week about the ability not to see colors. Could you imagine that? The vibrant, beautiful, look at the flowers. Couldn't see that. It'd just be great. Or hearing. Couldn't hear. Man, what? That would be terrible. And that's how the body feels when it doesn't have all of its parts together. We're missing something. We're missing something. It's not good, And really, Harold's out sick this morning, so we missed him singing. Imar did a great job filling in, but we missed Harold's voice, And his jokes. You know how many jokes? He's part of it, and we miss him. And truth is, everything's like that. And honestly, if there wasn't the ushers, and we just had to kind of park wherever we're at, and everybody's running all over the place, we miss our ushers. We miss our nursery workers. I love kids, but having them all in here now when I'm preaching would be a little bit distracting. They'd be climbing all over the place, over you. So thank God for the nursery. It's a blessing. That's a needed part. And for Kids Zone and all the things that go on, people that clean the church, there's so many different areas where people work and serve and be a part and invite folks to come. It's all together. We're weakened when you think you have no part. You have a part. And if you want to impact your church, the first thing you can do today is write down in your Bible, write down in your bulletin, wherever you want to write down, on your hand, I don't care. I have a part here. I have a place here. There's a place for me. You got to realize that I'm a part of this body. God put me here. I'm needed here. It's important that I be here. There's a part for me. And sometimes we got to look and we got to investigate. We got to look where that part exactly would be best served and best used. But there's a part and place for you. There's a role for you to play. Everybody has a role to play. And that's the second way we can weaken the body, is not fulfilling our part. We need some noses to do some smelling. We need some ears to do some hearing. We need some eyes to do some seeing. We need some hands to do some grabbing and feet to do some walking. Everybody needs to do their part in the church to fulfill their role that God has given them. That's really, really, really important. And we can impact our church that way. By me doing my part, by you doing your part. Again, not everybody can be the pastor. You shouldn't want to be the pastor. Interesting, I have people tell me all the time. This one person told me this previously in my ministry. He says, I would never want your job, but here's how you're doing it wrong. It's like, what? Genius. Do your role. Fill your role. Do your job. Fulfill your part. And find parts. And stretch yourself. Go beyond. Make yourself a little bit uncomfortable. It's okay. It's funny. I just found the video, we have it on video, the first message I've ever preached on Kauai. And our grand opening service, September 18th, we had the video of it, the whole thing. And it's amazing how good I was, but shocking to myself. But the reality is, I'm so nervous. I'm going so far out of my comfort zone. It was the first and only time, I'll try to get it out to you guys sooner or later. It was the first and only time I wore a suit coat whenever I preached on Kauai. The first and only. After that, I was hot. But the reality is I didn't feel comfortable that first Sunday. And I'm still, there's still things that make me nervous. There's still things that, you know, I have, but I trust in the Lord and I trust what he's called me to. But there's jobs that all of us feel nervous with that we don't think we can do. That if we just stretch ourselves a little bit, we can do it. If we just let the Spirit of God allow us to do it, we can do it. So stretch yourself, fulfill your part. Another area is criticizing the other parts. You know, hey, hand, pick it up, you know, let's go. What's your problem? Finding other parts that we want to criticize. We want to degrade. We want to cut them down. Don't do that. We're in it together. We need each other. We need each other to work effectively together. We're a team. We're a body. Don't criticize other parts of the body. Another area that we need is pride. Again, thinking that we are something by ourselves. I don't need you. Yeah, actually you do. We need each other. It's vital to our connection to Christ. It's vital. You need to be a part of that body where Christ is the head. Again, I'm not saying that you need the church to be saved. That's not what I'm saying. You understand that. But to fulfill your function as he designed in the body, you need the body. And pride causes us to say, you know what? I don't need you. I'm good. I don't need the church. They're a bunch of hypocrites. Good, says the first person that's never been a hypocrite before in his life. You know, like you've never been a hypocrite. Hypocrite. You know, of course we're hypocrites. We say live for God and we struggle to live for God. We say confess your hidden sins and we struggle to confess our hidden sins. We struggle. You know, it's called being human. And yeah, it's called our flesh. We're battling this thing. We're going at it. But there are times when we say things and we don't live up to what we say at times. Sure. Does that make us a hypocrite? Great. It makes you one too. You know? Pride. We think, oh yeah, they're all a bunch of hypocrites. They're all a bunch of sinners. They're all this. They're all that. They're all that. And what are you? Prideful is what you are. Full of yourself is what you are. We need to get back to saying, hey, I need these people. I need to be a part. I need to function in the body. I need to put Christ as my head. That's what God has called me to. And that's how you can begin to impact your church. Is by saying, yes, I have a part. Yes, I have a role. Yeah, we're all in this together. We strengthen each other. We encourage each other. We edify each other. And yeah, at times there's a person for rebuke, but not criticism. And let's get rid of pride. That's not going to help the body. That's not going to impact our church in a positive way. God, I believe this to be the absolute truth, is that God is determined to do a great work with our church. I believe it. I'm seeing it. There's things that we cannot explain that have been happening in the first quarter of 2007. Just everything. Everything's falling together. It's like one right after, boom, boom, boom. It's like, wow, wow, I didn't see that. And they're getting. I kind of got freaked out a little bit this week because our special use permit or extension got approved by the county, and so now we're under the building phase. And the architect's like, "Yeah, you got to find an electrical engineer, a mechanical engineer who can specialize in all these different things. And you got to find this and that and that." And so I'm like, "Ooh, where am I going to find all these people?" I kind of got a little overwhelmed. Okay, how am I going to do this? And then all of a sudden God just starts boom, boom, boom. People I know can do this. People that they all owe me a bunch of favors. Not really. But the reality is, yeah, God can do this. And God wants to do this. And God can do the impossible with us. when we start thinking about our Easter services, again, we had 195 people in church. That's tremendous. Five people trusting Christ. That's amazing. That's a miracle. And we look at these things and they strengthen our faith. They encourage us, and you have a part in that. All of us do. And so the question for you this morning is, what would it take for you to impact your church like Christ designed you to impact your church? He built you. He made you for a purpose, and he put you into this body for a reason. Why? Let's find it. Let's fulfill it. Let's do it. Let's see God do some miraculous things. Tonight we're going to be talking about the rapture of the church. We're looking at end times. It's the next prophetic event on God's timetable. There's a lot of people today that have kind of dismissed this doctrine. Ah, not going to happen. Build your cellar now, right? You're going through the Great Tribulation. A lot of people are making that tune, and it's because they don't think God could actually take a bunch of people to heaven at once. I don't see that happening. Maybe it's because we prayed for somebody to be healed and God chose not to heal them. I don't know what the case may be. But maybe it's because we've not seen God do the miraculous in our own lives. And if you want to see God do the miraculous, stick around this church. He's doing it. It's amazing. He's put together a different dynamic group of cultures. Come from all different types of backgrounds. Different levels of wealth. Different levels of health and even political backgrounds. We're all together. That's a miracle. There's a church in Hawaii led by a Haole pastor. And it's growing. Oh, by not just Haoles. That seems to be, that's a miracle, I think. God does that when we put Christ first. All of us, all cultures, put him first. And we bring to it our own unique perspective, our own unique job. And we make a difference. We make an impact. That's a miracle. And we've seen it time and time again. And I want to challenge you, as we continue on now in the second quarter, move into the summer months, we've got lots of exciting things for you in our church. Plug in. Do your job. Fulfill your part. Be what God designed you to be. And let's see God do incredible, amazing things with our church. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do pray that you'd help each one of us to make an impact in our church, through our church. Help us not to look at this church as something that we are autonomous from, but rather something that we are a part of, like a body. And I don't know what each person's role is. Again, there's not an actual foot of the church, but there's somebody who plays a role in that body that only they can play. Or only a group of people can play. And it is true. I thought about this on Easter Sunday. It's impossible for me to be an usher and even make breakfast and still be the pastor and lead the service and do what God called me to do. I can't do all of it. It's impossible. But that's why we're a body. And so God, I pray that you help us to see each one of us have that job and that role in every day in church, in every moment, that we all have a role to play. To help, to serve, to work. And God, I do pray that you'd help us to impact our church. We thank you for this time. I do pray that you bless this time of invitation. With every head bowed and every eye closed, real quickly, I want to ask you this question. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't know that your sins have been forgiven, you're not sure that you're on your way to heaven because your sins have been forgiven, I'd like to pray for you. Now, I'm not going to embarrass you, but if you're here today, say, Pastor, I'm not sure that my sins are forgiven. I'm not sure. We've had people raise their hands on Sunday, on different days. I see that hand. Anybody else, just raise your hand up. Say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure my sins are forgiven. Anybody like that here today? I'll pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I do pray for the one that raised their hand today that they would not leave here without knowing for sure that their sins are forgiven, that they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I pray, God, that you would just strengthen their knowledge of you from the Word of God so that they might know to trust you as their Savior. And God, I pray for the rest of our church that claim to know you as their Savior, that we would be a part of the body that you've grafted us into, that you've placed us in. that we would do our job, that we would fill our role, that we would impact our church as only we can in a unique and mighty way. And that we can be a part of it, and that we can be, in the process, see miraculous things done right before our very eyes. It's incredible. And God, I do pray that you bless now this time of invitation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take our hymn books. We're going to go to hymn number 264. The song is called, He is Able to Deliver Thee.